It's the World Cup, and for the first time in history, Africa, South Africa, is hosting the beautiful game. I live in London, I'm a South African, and I'm in Trafalgar Square for the opening match of the 2010 Games. For us South Africans, this place represents another piece of our history. Everyone's having fun, but ironically, two decades ago, we were here protesting against South Africa's oppressive apartheid system. Back then, we were in a very different mood. Apartheid was dismantled in 1990, but this place is still important to us because our High Commission is here. The first game is between South Africa, the hosts, and Mexico. As we sing our national anthem, we're all very aware of the absence of Nelson Mandela, who couldn't be present at the opening ceremony because of a personal tragedy.
But he said, the game must start, you must enjoy the game.
After our president's speech, we let rip with our vuvuzelas. After half-time, it's still nil-nil, and the crowd's sense of anticipation is at fever pitch. When South Africa scores the first goal, I'm absolutely ecstatic. Is this a magic moment for my country? Can we go all the way? Fifteen minutes before the end of the game, Mexico scores an equalizer. Shame. They played well, but my sense of pride demanded that they win. I was surprised about how strongly I wanted Bafana Bafana to win. Where did that come from? I remembered I was in Britain where the right-wing politician Norman Tebbit once said, quote, "A large number of Britain's immigrants fail to pass the cricket test. Which side do you cheer for? Are you still harking back to where you came from or where you are? It's an interesting question," unquote. Yes, it is a really interesting question, and maybe much more complicated than perhaps Norman Tebbit could understand. Where we came from is Africa, but where we are is in Europe. And I'm going to look for answers.
We're going to Sankofa House, a restaurant and bar here in Southeast London. And it's a favourite place for South Africans living nearby. And they're going to be watching the World Cup from here, those who obviously can't make it back to South Africa. What do you think about Africa's first World Cup?
It brings a smile to my face. We have quite Africa in general. I think we feel proud and we're very happy to have hosted the 2010 World Cup. We feel this is really African World Cup.
Why is it important that African communities in London have places like this to go to?
That welcoming feeling, you know, is, I think it's quite important. And where it's having an environment where you sort of understand each other, I think it's quite important.
What kind of African people come here? Is it mostly South Africans and Zimbabweans?
No, we've had people from Nigeria, we've had people like you, we had Ugandans too.
At Sankofa, the food and even the dancing made me feel like I was back home. The South African word for football is diski, and we've created a diski dance especially for the World Cup.
Okay, Ntombi, so what is the diski dance?
The diski dance is a dance which we invented in South Africa because this is how we express ourselves with music and dance in all occasions.
And so the dance teacher, Ntombi, invited me back to her home for a private lesson.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay, thanks.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, my darling.
Ndombi tells me that she formed a relationship with another immigrant, an elderly Irishman, who she was so close to that he called her his daughter. He's recently died.
He didn't need to die, not yet, man. Oh, I loved him, man. I loved him. He was not a moody person. Mood, doesn't know what his mood is. Stress, don't tell him about stress. What's that? Is this something living? Or you buy it in the shop? Where did you get it from? Take it back. You don't need it. We are here, stress-free.
Now that he's gone, Ndombi faces eviction. But in spite of this, she has adopted a young South African called Pumlani.
How does it make you feel, Pumlani, as a young South African, seeing our country hosting the World Cup?
I'm happy, but not that happy because I'm not in South Africa, so it doesn't matter to me now because I'm not in South Africa. But I'm happy.
How long have you been here?
2 years.
What's been your experience?
I miss the Durban life.
What do you like about London? There must be something that you like.
No.
Nothing at all?
No.
He's homesick. Which is, I can understand because I'm feeling...
You could go home next week or in two weeks' time.
Got enough money, innit? Got enough money to go home. So...
Talking to Pumlani reminded me that apartheid conditioned us to believe we had to be separated from our families in order to survive. By assuming that coming here leads to a better life, do we, as South Africans, risk not only losing our family ties, but also our sense of identity? I'm going to meet someone who may have an answer.
Sichabasa, South Africa.
Are you South African, Jama?
Well, I'm dual. I was born here, but I was brought up in South Africa. So I'm both. But home is where the heart is, and heart is back home.
Yesterday, when I turned on the TV and I saw the celebrations at the Joburg International Airport, and I thought, why am I here?
So, when were you in South Africa?
Well, my family and I, my parents and my siblings, went back to South Africa in 1975, which is a year just before the Soweto uprisings that had the country blow up in smoke. And I remember being dragged out of school, gunshots all over the place, and people were literally being dragged by those that were older than them, their parents, their brothers, whoever, you know, dragging them into safety from classes into their homes. And sometimes when I think about those days and how the whole thing just didn't have to happen, seeing people actually being shot and killed, you know, defenselessly, being a youth in those days, in a very political climate, it's difficult not to be politicized.
Why have you left South Africa?
I was out of a job.
But why isn't your wife here?
Jama tells me that although he has British citizenship, his wife was denied a visa to come back to London to join him. Yet another example of a family being split.
So is this what it's like to be a bachelor then? You don't know how to cook for yourself.
I've never burnt a thing in my whole life. I thought I switched it off when you guys called. Oh no. Oh man. Are you filming this?
We're going to expose you.
Oh
man. The life of a bachelor. Bring back my wife.
Yes, you better come back.
So when Algeria plays England, who are you supporting for that day?
England.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's an African team. I should ideally, but I can't really say I identify with them any more than that, if you know what I mean.
Thank you.
Zongisizwe zohlangana phansi kwelanga lomzansi kuzoshunquthuli Go see Sigeleli Africa. Madodaba Fazi Pagaman. Tu misanum zanzi. Kushuku mi lizwe. Go see Sigeleli Africa.
This is Luyanda, a South African musician who's written this song for the World Cup.
This is where you started your World Cup song?
The World Cup song,
so
yeah.
So you were standing here?
I was singing, yeah. And sometimes I come here at night, actually. So I like sit here and meditate. But I still miss home. I still miss home. I still miss home.
I think it's a really interesting message that you've written to Bafana Bafana in your song, Luyanda. Yeah. It looks like we may not actually get through the first round.
I know.
Would that be a big deal for you?
My hope, Ashwali, is as long the cup doesn't go out of Africa, it stays in Africa, I'm fine. There is no problem. Because I'll feel happy. At least I will feel happy. Even if South Africa didn't win, but at least the cup must remain in Africa. I'll be so happy.
I agree with Luyanda. The cup has to stay in Africa. But what if Bafana Bafana don't make it? One of Africa's favorites to win this tournament is the Black Stars, a Ghanaian team. They're playing against Serbia. I need to get there.
I'm at the Serbian embassy in London, waiting to find out if I'll be able to travel to Belgrade tomorrow. I applied for a visa nearly 2 weeks ago. Every now and again I have to go through this process as a South African passport holder. I just got the visa. It's about 10 minutes to close. So 10 minutes from now, if it hadn't arrived, I wouldn't be going to Serbia tomorrow.
Can you get dual nationality, like British passport and...
I could get a British passport, I could have dual citizenship, but I am South African. I demand to be South African. Most of my childhood I lived in Zimbabwe with Zimbabwean travel documents because of the apartheid government. So my adult life, I will be only South African.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to see it? Serbian visa. Stamped. I got it.
The reason I've come to Serbia is because there are African communities all over Europe whose team will be playing against a European country that they live in. There's a small Ghanaian community here in Belgrade. Which team will they be supporting? And how are they coping here in the former Yugoslavia, which was torn apart less than 20 years ago in a war caused by hatred of ethnic minorities? How complicated is it for Ghanaians living here, especially since the coach of the Black Stars is a Serbian?
So Ghana v Serbia tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes. Tomorrow. Ghana, Serbia tomorrow.
Ghana has a Serbian coach?
Yes.
So who's going to win, Ghana or Serbia?
I think Serbia, I don't know.
You don't think Ghana?
Maybe.
Dobar dan. Kako ste?
Dobro vi.
Dobro sam.
Very good.
Dobro sam?
Very good. Dobro.
Okay. Very good. I've made contact with Isaac Ashun, the person who's going to help me answer the question of Ghanaian identity in Serbia.
Okay, great. Looking forward to seeing you and meeting you.
Hey.
Isaac?
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you very much. I got you something.
Oh.
South Africa, England.
Good.
Isaac and his nephew are taking me to a well-known Serbian restaurant. As we arrive, we have a surprise.
I'm
Hello.
A lucky man. Ay, ay, ay. Ghana tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Serbia is so.
Really?
Very good. Yeah, I know. I'm Serb. Ghana plays with the heart, you know. In Serbian, only for money. That's,
oh, really?
That's different.
Ah.
Yes.
So you're supporting Ghana tomorrow?
Yes.
Thank you.
I said 2-1.
2-1 to Ghana.
And all the best for you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How many Ghanaians are there in Belgrade?
Yeah, around 15.
Really?
All staff of the embassy and their families.
Are the Ghanaians going to come together and watch the game tomorrow?
No, it won't be possible. Because of the fear of maybe if we win, the Serbians, some of them may be angry, you know, with us. So they prefer to be in their homes and watch the game after the match. If you win, you sleep.
Are there football hooligans here then?
The Serbians are nice people, you know, but the few people who are hooligans, you know, can cause trouble.
Where are you watching the game tomorrow?
I'm watching with my Serbian friends.
Really?
Yes.
They invited me.
They invited me to make a combination of Ghana-Serbia as spectators and Ghana-Serbia on the field.
If Ghana wins, how are you going to celebrate?
Well, currently I have about 3 or 4 Serbians who have declared their support for Ghana.
Really?
So I'm going to celebrate with them. You know?
Isaac tells me that there used to be a large number of Ghanaian students here who all fled during the war, and it is only now that they are starting to come back.
Are you the only African person in your school, in your college?
Yes. Yes, I am.
What is that like?
Well, I feel like a king in that school, you know, because they're always imitating my steps.
Really?
Yeah, they know that I've got the natural stuff. Anything I do, they want to copy that. Everybody that I know, you know, tries to treat me with respect. This is Ghana.
The black star.
The blood, the gold, the forest, and the skin, black skin. Ghana 2, Serbia 0. It means tomorrow Ghana 2, Serbia 0.
Isaac insists on giving us a short tour of the pedestrian zone of Belgrade, where I have a shocking encounter with some Serbian children. Isaac is clearly used to this, but I can't help feeling it's ironic that European children are begging Africans for money.
What did he ask you?
Where do we come from?
Ghana.
No, I said South Africa.
Why didn't you say Ghana?
They will start making tomorrow.
It's interesting how Isaac is really worried about flying the Ghanaian flag in Serbia. That says a lot, really, about what's going on, I think. If I couldn't fly the South African flag in London, I would feel so frustrated. I would be very unhappy.
It's been a really interesting day today. I met 3 Ghanaians in Belgrade. Apparently there are 15 of them. Fascinating to be with them. Fascinating to be with the Serbians, who seem very friendly, very open, very warm. Quite happy for me to be waving my flag about all the African nations now are just going to be rooting for Ghana tomorrow. We need an African victory in this African World Cup, really.
Because the small Ghanaian community here is afraid to congregate to watch the game for fear of unleashing Serbian hooliganism, Isaac has arranged for me to watch the game at his ambassador's house today. On the way, we pass some disturbing reminders of the conflict that destroyed the former Yugoslavia.
Why hasn't the government fixed that building?
Oh, I don't know really.
Was it the army building that was bombed?
Yes, army building, and they're bombing the national television building, and yeah, they're bombing a police building.
But how do you feel when you drive past those buildings every day?
Now I don't see them. I see them, but I don't thinking about that. And
seeing the bombed buildings brings back some painful memories of apartheid South Africa. It occurs to me that both conflicts were created by bigotry and racial intolerance. Long before the war, Yugoslavia supported Ghana's independence and the countries were friends. There is still a Ghanaian embassy here. There's still a connection.
So which team are you supporting then, Ghana or Serbia?
I am a Ghanaian, and I would have wished that Ghana would win the World Cup.
Before the match begins, the ambassador and his wife make me realize just how complicated the question of identity can be.
The color does not make a man where you come from. Where you are born, where your, how do you call them?
Umbilical cord.
Umbilical is there, is your nation, is your country. So I don't see why somebody who has been born in
Serbia, a black boy who has been born in Serbia will think that I belong to Ghana. No.
How are you enjoying the World Cup?
I'm happy for Africa that it happened in Africa. But if we talk about maybe Ghana and Serbia, well, I just want them to play draw. You know, yes. I love my country and I'm living here, so draw. If Serbia is playing with somebody else, yes, I'll support Serbia 100%. And Ghana, another person, but now they should play draw.
I have a flag, but can I give you the South African flag?
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
thank you very much. Please. I brought a small vuvuzela as well. It was mine.
All right.
You know the vuvuzela that we have?
Yes.
Prince Tagoe.
Oh, it's in Serbian?
Yeah.
What does Serbia and Ghana to please draw?
Draw.
Me, I want us to beat them. We are supporting Ghana.
As the match continues, I notice Her Excellency's neutrality is beginning to slip.
Nice. Oh. I thought you were neutral.
Asamoah, you must score.
Please score
for us.
Near the end of the match, a Ghanaian player is fouled, and it's a penalty kick for Ghana.
Come on, please make it count.
Yes! Go, red! I think it's so lovely. Thank you.
Bye, thank you. Well done, Ghana.
After that satisfying win, Isaac decides to take us to his home. But I get the sense he wants us to wait until we get there before we celebrate. When we arrive, I notice Isaac is hiding his Ghana t-shirt.
Nice to be now on the winning team,
yes.
Isn't it? Ooh, Ghana!
You won?
Yeah.
He won because of Ghana.
You bet on Ghana?
Yes. I always bet against Serbia. It's not a good high. He's congratulations on victory.
Oh, you say congratulations? Yeah, Thank you. The Black Stars won today.
Ciao.
You're the first African team to win in the World Cup so far.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? I mean, in Accra, in Ghana as a whole, there must be so much joy.
Yes.
Don't you wish that you were home?
That's why we are also doing a small one here, you know. And then it's good that we are getting calls from Ghana to, you know, our friends and relatives are calling us about how we are enjoying here, whether we are safe and all that, you know. It is okay. You don't feel all that homesick. Da na si, da o nyami a si, muna na si, da na si, da na si, da o nyami a si. Oh, evize, oye, na na do yesu, do su, da na si. Danasi, daunyami asi. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God for the victory. Hallelujah.
Woo! Ghana!
Ghana's won the match, and it's a famous victory for Africa.
Hooray!
Although the Serbians were pleasant towards me, I am just a temporary person passing through. Not all Africans in Europe have the freedom to express their national identity. And meeting Isaac leaves me with the overriding impression that the diaspora can be a lonely place. I started this journey to try to find out about African identity in Europe during the World Cup. What happens in the hearts and minds of Africans when their teams are playing the European country they live in? Was Britain's right-wing politician Norman Tebbit right to say that we immigrants fail the cricket test, which asks which team we are cheering for, and if we are harking back to where we came from or where we are? When I started the journey, I was surprised at how fiercely South African I was. I wanted Bafana Bafana to go all the way, but they didn't make it. I then pinned my hopes on Ghana when they were playing Serbia and wanted to see what effect Ghana's victory would have on the small Ghanaian community living there. And now I'm going to Holland, which historically has enjoyed a reputation for multiculturalism. I want to see how Cameroonians in the context of playing against Holland will get on with their Dutch hosts. Cameroon is unfortunately on its way out of the tournament.
So what do you think about the Cameroon v Netherlands game then?
I think Holland win the game with 1-5.
1 to Cameroon, 5 to Holland?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I hope Cameroon wins today though.
Okay. Yeah. I hope for you also.
Thank you.
So here I am in Nijmegen, and I'm off to a woman called Marcel's house to watch the game, Cameroon v Netherlands. Marcel is the president of the Cameroonian People's Association, and she's married to a Dutchman.
My first impressions of Marcel are that she has a comfortable life here in the Netherlands. I'm intrigued about her career background.
I studied in Cameroon. I've done French literature, and after that, I had a job for an electromechanic company, and after that I moved to Holland.
So how long ago was that?
June 2002, I came in Holland.
And you stayed?
I'm still here. Well, I like it here. First of all, my son is half Dutch, so his father is Dutch. And then, I have family here, I have two sisters here. I like what I do here. I'm involved in politics in Cameroon. And I'm also the president of the Cameroonian Association in the Netherlands.
Do you think it's a level playing field then for between Dutch people and foreigners here?
You know, I'm in a department where I'm the only black person. I don't have any problem with anybody. They don't have any problem with me. We get along perfectly. When I'm in the train, I don't have any problem, no.
When last were you home?
I go every year for 1 month.
Very good.
Yeah, every year I go for 1 month. It's important for me to go back.
Does Dominic, your son, does he like Cameroon?
He loves Cameroon.
When Dominic comes home, I'm in no doubt about which team the little boy is supporting. However, it's not certain which team his father Marcus will be rooting for, since he's preoccupied with getting the house ready for visitors.
I thought I was coming in here, it would be all with Cameroon stuff.
Marcel, yes. Why are you not supporting Holland? You're living in Holland, you're with a Holland family. Why are you supporting Cameroon?
Well, simple question, I'm a Cameroonian, and Cameroonian is playing today. You know, when Cameroonian will be out, then I might support Holland. But for the time being, Cameroon is still in, still playing. My heart goes 100% for Cameroon, whether we lose or we win. And that's the spirit of football.
Keita,
yeah.
How do you feel about Cameroon being out of the World Cup?
Well, I'm really disappointed, really. I was hope that Cameroon go far.
My heart says Cameroon will win, but my reason tell me that Netherlands is going to win.
Marcus, you're not wearing any orange.
Stand behind the flag.
We're black.
You're that's black? Flag.
Yeah, because we're going to bury Cameroon.
I think it's going to be a 3-0 for Holland.
Are you supporting Cameroon today?
Of course not.
Why
are you?
You gotta win.
What is that? No, you won't miss, he's gonna get it. Look at that woman!
I had
do you feel about the football so far?
I'm happy.
As a couple.
And I'm happy too.
With the football score being even, everyone seems happy. But just when I'm beginning to think that the Dutch reputation for racial tolerance is a valid one, a family friend from Curaçao, Umberto, is keen to tell his story.
But Umberto, you were saying that there is racism in Holland.
Racism, yes. Look what happened with me. The mother of my two children, daughter of nearly 14, my son is 12, good friend of her son. When I met her, she took me to her parents. The grandmother was in the kitchen. So we entered the house through the kitchen and I shake hands like my parents taught me. I gave her a hand. She gave me the hand, opened
the tape, washed her hands.
I was looking like this in Holland with me.
It's a story that happened to many, many of us. It happened to me as well.
It happened to you?
Yes. When I got married to my ex-husband, he's Dutch, from Friesland, and I was never accepted in his family. We divorced now, and still today, I'm not accepted in the family.
Is that what caused the divorce, do you think?
I think it's part of it. I think it's a big part of it.
It sounds like if there's going to be that kind of blatant racism, that's all right.
I don't think it's racism, it's ignorance, it's fear.
This conversation makes me wonder about Marcel and Marcus. Have they encountered similar prejudice towards their own relationship? And how does this affect their son?
Are you accepted? Is everybody open to mixed race relationships here?
When you mix, you have to learn new things. But by learning new things, you get better, you know, you get more educated. And we will see after the third generation, all the problems are going to be finished because we are so mixed together and the children from people from Africa or from Asia, they are not foreign anymore. They become Dutch. They have a different skin color, okay, but after a few generations, they are going to be really, really Dutch.
There is song. Song is there.
Penalty.
Penalty.
Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty.
Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty.
Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty. Penalty.
In the end, the Netherlands beats Cameroon. One half of Marcel's family is happy, especially her young son. But as his father said, it may take three generations for the children of immigrants to become fully Dutch. So does this mean rejecting your original culture in order to be accepted here? And if so, what does that mean for people who have recently arrived? I'm meeting with a Cameroonian student named Mafor, who has only been in Holland for a few years.
So do you integrate well with the Europeans, or is there some kind of, in South Africa we still have the racial divides between different colors. Do you have that here, or what is it like?
Where I live, since I came here, where I've been living, my neighborhood, in my building, there are mostly international students from other countries, not Dutch people. So most of my friends are really not Dutch, but other international students.
What brought you to come and study all the way in Amstelveen?
Well, after completing my bachelor program in geology in Cameroon, I discovered that it's wise for me to do a master program in petroleum geology because that's where I intend to specialize.
Mafor takes me to a student bar to meet some of his colleagues. Although the clientele seem to represent a cultural mix, I do get the sense that Mafor and his Cameroonian friends tend to stay within their own little group.
So what do you feel? How do you feel about Cameroon being out of the World Cup?
I had to make a party, Cameroon Netherlands, that day. And now I cannot do it anymore because I feel ashamed to, you know, make a party with a winning team, and then I feel really bad.
Yeah, I find it difficult to face my friends because when I face them, they ask me, oh, Cameroon is out, too bad. And I feel ashamed because we are known because of football in the world.
What do you feel about this African World Cup?
I think it's something good, which FIFA has really done. And it's not only about the World Cup, but it's also about those who have never been. So I think this World Cup has brought something in them, which when they go there now, they'll see that Africa is not what they thought.
How are you treated coming from Africa and living here where people have different ideas about your life? How are you treated?
And if I'm treated badly, I look at it like you being stupid, like being ignorant. You don't know what you're doing because we are humans, you know. So I don't really look at it like something too bad.
except it affects me like when I have to study, you know, like a teacher would decide to fail me because he doesn't like black people, then that one, it affects me. But if you're just saying words, it doesn't affect me.
Wilson, what are employment opportunities like here? You've finished your master's now.
Yeah, since I'm trying to pursue a career into the oil industry, really here in Netherlands is really, really very now, because the main oil company is Shell, and even the citizens here too really look forward to working Shell. So I think the opportunities are not really there.
How are you surviving then? You finished your studies, you've now spent about 6 months or 7 months looking for work in what you've just been studying. You haven't got it, so how do you survive?
I now work with a fast food company called Burger King at Delma Station. So that is where I really try to get the sustenance for myself and pay bills and so on. And then at times I'll go again, do part-time work with doing some ditches, of course. So I do ditches and I work at Burger King. Those are the two jobs I do for now.
You have a master's, you're a highly skilled, highly qualified person. And yet here you are in Europe and you're washing dishes. How does that make you feel?
So it's just trying to see how you can cope with challenges. So since I'm coping with that and I know with this, I can work anywhere, any adverse condition.
Do you not think the government, the Cameroonian government, should be helping people like you and Wilson a bit more, to encouraging you to come back home with your qualifications? You have oil in Cameroon, you've got qualifications for the petroleum industry. Couldn't your government be helping you to get the jobs that you want back home?
Yeah, you have to be really qualified, number one, and then you have to have a little bit of luck, because you're competing with the French-speaking Cameroonians, and there's no doubt there's like a little bit of discrimination, because they give priority to the French-speaking Cameroonians, even if you can speak English.
You as an Anglophone, you are done with your studies. Getting a job back there at home is something that is really an issue of concern. Because even if you are competent enough to get a job, they tend to really, or those who are in the government, prefer to take maybe their own villages and put into positions which they don't deserve. We tend to see that there is no democracy being practiced in Cameroon, because our president has been there for almost 28 years and above, and he's still contesting to be again, to run as president. So,
Wilson, you've just said that there's no democracy in Cameroon. How can you say such a thing? You've been having elections.
Let me see. They say there is democracy, but it's not been practiced.
You don't think elections are free and fair?
I don't think so. Cameroonians, of course, love football, because that is one unifying factor for Cameroonians. Coming from the west or east, but when it concerns football, Cameroonians are really united. They love it. They forget about the political indifferences and they come together. And they only come back to politics when Cameroon comes out from a competition like this at the early stages. Then they start going back into politics.
I can't help wondering where Norman Tebbit would place the Cameroonians who are not only finding it hard in the Netherlands, but also back home. They seem to be between a rock and a hard place. For me, a big test of loyalty, of who to cheer for, will be the match between Algeria and England. I live in England, but I have some sympathy with Algeria as one of the first countries in Africa to help Nelson Mandela in his struggle against apartheid. How does that play out for the Algerians living in London? Do they hark back to where they came from, or are they happy where they are? The day before the game, I visit a well-known restaurant in South London, a popular meeting place for Algerians. What I found was passion and pride in being African, but also divided loyalties.
If Algeria play good, good luck to it. If England play good, good luck to it. I'm off about this. I'm happy both of them. Both, they're my country, both of them.
If you ask me who you go for, I go for my country. I do respect this country, I love this country, but viva Algeria, and I die for Algeria, whatever the price. 1, 2, 3, viva Algeria.
Don't you want Algeria to win?
We live here. This is my country.
Do you follow the football?
Oui. Oui, je regarde les matchs. J'aime tous les sports. Je regarde tous les matchs parce que j'aime mon fils sportif, ma mari, et j'aime tous les sportifs.
The World Cup is in Africa for the first time. It's in South Africa. What do you think about that?
J'étais très content.
She was very happy.
J'étais très content.
I'm from Africa. Ghana, Nigeria, Côte d'Ivoire, Algeria, South Africa, everything. I'm from Africa.
I think Algeria is the first country who did recognize South Africa as independent state.
On the day of the match in North London's Blackstock Road, the streets are teeming with excitement. There's no doubt among these young people about which team they're backing. Any dissenting voices are drowned out in the pandemonium.
You never know, you know, what they call it, Switzerland beat Spain, so we might beat England too, why not?
If we're gonna win today, they're gonna take the British passport from us and we go back to Algeria.
Have you actually hoisted the South African flag?
Africa.
It's fascinating to me that this new generation of Algerian immigrants in England not only see themselves as African, but also feel a strong connection to South Africa. It seems impossible to have a real conversation in Blackstock Road in the midst of this euphoria of expectation, not only among the men, but also the young women I meet.
We're here to support Algerian football today, and we hope they win.
I realise that these young women have obviously grown up here, so I really want to know why they feel so strongly about cheering for Algeria today.
Why would you not be supporting the country that you've lived in the longest today when Algeria plays England?
Because I've been involved, I grew up in care for 10 years, for 15 years. As soon as I came to this country, the British people took advantage of my mum and dad because they couldn't speak good English, and they removed all my siblings and my brothers, whatever, away from us. I haven't seen them for over 10 years. And I feel like this country has really taken away my justice.
Why won't you support England today?
I do support England, but say if Algeria was in play with England, then obviously I'll be supporting England. But because Algeria and England's gonna play today, so obviously I'm going to support Algeria because I'm Algerian.
I don't have a problem with England, but I don't support England because I don't feel like that's my family background, if you know what I'm saying. I don't feel the love and the connection with England like I do with Algeria.
So what is life like here, Mira, for an Algerian woman?
It's hard without your family. Over there in Algeria, they show you more love than here. It's like you have so much fun with the neighbours. You see the kids playing outside. And
party every night.
Like weddings
it's
every
so
night.
Ice cream van comes out at night time. Where I live, I always hear it.
Yeah, especially in Ramadans and, you know,
it's
summers.
It's just so
and
fun out there. They're so poor, but they have the most fun.
I've been living in England for nearly 8 years, And I still don't know my neighbours.
Algerians are loving and caring and sharing and thoughtful people. If I ever did go back to live in Algeria, it wouldn't be anytime soon.
Do you think you'll easily adapt when you get back there?
No, I don't, honestly. I love my country to bits, and you know, I have a lot of faith and respect in that in them, but I think it's going to be new for me. It's not going to be the same. It's where, I mean, I'm not English, but I have no choice.
Why are you still supporting Algeria then for the World Cup? Why not support England? You've just said that, you know, this is the culture that you know, that you've been brought up in.
Because it was a thing where I didn't want to, if I could choose to be brought up back home, I would.
We also came here during a war, because I was born during a war, and this is why we came to England.
Yeah.
And that is why I will, and I will most definitely be supporting my country today.
I'm surprised by the younger generation of Algerian women and how alienated they feel from the country they live in. Their need for identity has made them long for a country they left long ago. We're watching the game from an Algerian television channel. The entire coverage is in Arabic. It's as if I'm in a coffee shop in Algiers, surrounded by Algerian flags and Algerian scarves. But what does this really mean? Is football a real measure of identity, or is it just a mirage? Our coffee shop is next to Arsenal Stadium. How many Algerians here will be supporting Arsenal tomorrow? Does this burst of patriotism last beyond the last kick of the game? I notice that the owner of the cafe is wearing an England t-shirt. I wonder what he feels about the result.
I predicted England to win, but, you know, they don't deserve, like, to win. And I tell you what, Algeria don't deserve as well to win. It was like a 50-50 game, because they both missed chances. So nil-nil is like square, is like fair. Oh, I tell you what, I'm gonna wear Algeria shirt now. Honestly, I got because I knew it was going to be, England didn't even turn up for the game. I swear to God. I think Algeria did kill them.
The game was a draw. Nobody scored. But it looks like the Algerians are still very happy, and there's a huge police presence here, flashing blue lights. So we're going to go and talk to some more Algerians and ask them how they really feel about the draw. Hi, are you Algerian?
Yeah, hello, Darren, how's it going, yeah?
Yeah?
I've just got to say that Algeria was a solid performance today. You know, really done the country proud. England, big letdown. Big, lot of money, no performance, you know, big shame. Feel sorry for the English supporters. Algeria all the way.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Finding out how strongly Algerians living in London feel about their Algerian identity was not a surprise to me. What I wasn't aware of was the tension between young Algerians in this area and the police. Is there a sense of desperation in the allegiance these young Londoners feel for the country their parents left long ago?
What is it like living around here with all the police presence all the time?
They're probably scared, innit? Like, people get maybe overexcited or something. But overall, innit? Like, we're just, like, celebrating like anyone else, innit?
And obviously, everyone at his Blackstock Road, they know what time it is, innit? You get me? Blackstock Road!
So we've left our mark here.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Throughout my World Cup journey, it amazed me how serious a role hosting the tournament in Africa is playing to forge a sense of an imagined African community. I remembered again the cricket test, Norman Tebbit's challenge to immigrant communities. Who are you cheering for? What I found out is that whatever their practical or emotional allegiances to the country they are in the imagined space of identity, Africans are unquestionably harking back to where they come from.
Kusisikeleli Africa, malupakanyisa uphondo lwayo.